Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 27 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. I'm Anthony Evangelista. As always, I'm here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
I'm having an all right day, you know, feeling pretty good. Knicks are playing well. Mets did something today. I guess we're going to
have to talk. The Mets did something today. How often have we gotten to say that in the past, four or five months?
4 or 5 months? I don't know, not much. But I feel like we should preface something before we get going here. Obviously we had a very raw reaction our last episode. That's something we haven't done very much, something we plan to continue to do when we are frustrated and so on and so forth. But just think everyone should know that we purposely had over the top and performative reactions. Obviously those were along the lines of how we were feeling, but yes, we did go over the top and it was intentional, and I think people should know that and understand that. And it's for the entertainment value as well. So, yeah, I was really, really, really mad at the Eagles, and I still am, and I think it's a disgrace to the NFL. But I repeated it a bunch of times because it's funny. So, yeah, this isn't an apology or anything like that, because I stand by everything I said. But just explaining that was me just doing that for the fan reaction that you guys listen to the show for. So
that was true emotion.
You have anything else to add to that or no?
I mean, look, all I'm saying is that's not going to be the first time that we have very
the last time opinion the last, yeah.
on certain topics. But, yeah, no, it might happen again. That's all we're going to say.
Yeah, but just wanted to get that out of the way because some people were complaining. Some people were smart enough to realize that that's exactly what we were doing. But, let's talk about what happened today. I'm gonna let you take the stage, dude.
So I woke up from my daily mid-school day nap to see a very important notification come across the top of my screen. So the Mets today were able to acquire the one and only Francisco Lindor and Carlos Carrasco for pretty much, honestly, a lot less than I would have had to expect. What did they give up? They gave up
Rosario and Prospect, I think.
And then it was Isaiah Green and the Josh Wolf guy.
Yeah. Somebody, I think, else. Rosario was in there as well, right? He was like the main.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There it is. Yeah. So I was extremely happy to see this because, you know what? Yeah, it's cap, whatever, but the Mets have cap. Right now, that shows that this is Steve Cohen's first real big move.
I mean, they signed McCann, but like this is a lot.
Like a big, big move. I mean, like, man, I'm so happy. Like,
it's a great deal for the Mets.
You don't understand. Like, this kind of signifies, I feel like, a new chapter in the Mets, like, era, where we're turning over the Wilpons right now. We're on to the Cohen era. We have a much better team, I think, from last year, and the offseason is not even close to being over.
I think it really does signify the Mets' intentions from now on. They want to build a contender. They want to win right now. They want to replenish their farm system. They want to do it all. And honestly, under Steve Cohen, who is, by the way, the king of Twitter, the world is at the Mets' fingertips right now. They are playing and spending like they are a New York sports team. I wish I could say that about every other team. I'm not going to name any specifics here. They're playing exactly the way a big market New York team should. And that is an incredible deal for them. They've got a switch hitting power bat in the middle of the infield, fantastic defense, marketable star, new face of the franchise. And they gave up very little for him. And they also acquired a solid number three or four pitcher, honestly, behind DeGrom and Syndergaard.
100%.
And Stroman, even. Like, you could throw him, like, they've got a great rotation now. They've solidified their lineup with that. Probably he could bat lead off, he could bat cleanup, and that's the beauty of it. Francisco Lindor is an incredible player. He's a top three shortstop in the league, absolutely. And he's probably the best player the Mets have had in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a better player that's been on the New York Mets. Like, not other than DeGrom, because DeGrom's been, a hitter fielder that's been as good.
It's been a while. I mean, if you want to compare, like, early years of David Wright, and even then, like,
that's and that's a maybe. Like, this guy is unbelievable. Like, Yeah, this guy, this is a lot. Like, this is a lot. And, like, I wouldn't be surprised. This is a bold prediction here. But, like, if Francisco Lindor goes down being one of the greatest Mets position players of all time, if they end up signing him long term, which I imagine they would if they made this deal, that's no shocker to me. This guy is 27 years old. He's been nothing but a stud in the big leagues. High ranking in the MVP votings. He's a clutch hitter. He's a playoff performer. Lost to the Yankees twice in the playoffs, but that's regardless.
Look, before anything else, I do want to say one thing. So one of my best friend, Luke, Luke is a big Yankees fan. And I think for the past 5 years, he's had a Yankee hat that has Francisco Lindor's name signed in the, from, I think it's a spring training game or something. Where
why is the Yankees hat signed by Francisco Lindor?
Yes. And he has been hoping for ever since that day that Lindor will come to the Yankees and be the Yankees' next great shortstop. Well, Luke, I'm very excited to say he's in New York. I'm very excited to say that he's not on your team.
I mean, the thing about, like, this is like, I hope I'm wrong about this for my sake, but it almost feels like this is the changing of the guard. Hal Steinbrenner is nothing like his father. He refuses to go in and put the major, major, major budget that he's able, that he has the opportunity to put in year after year because he's so afraid of the salary cap. Him and Brian Cashman are so enamored with the smell of their own crap that they think that anything, like, they're so confident in that their two pitchers, Jordan Montgomery, if the season were to start tomorrow. And that makes me sick to my stomach. Because you don't go out there and sign a guy like Garrett Cole and then refuse to pay your own guy the following offseason and also not want to bring back Tanaka or any of these other guys to replenish your bullpen or your starting pitching staff when they were – there's just so many problems. And the Yankees haven't really done anything yet. And we haven't talked about the Yankees in almost probably 3 months and 2.5 at least. They still haven't re-signed DJ LeMahieu. Now that the Mets have gotten Lindor, I highly doubt he'll be going to New York. I highly doubt he'll be going to Queens, DJ LeMahieu. I think that the Mets are at this point going to sign Springer, two bullpen arms, and then they'll sit on that and they're a contender in the National League.
Look, I just want to say that in terms of, God, like, I'm filled with so many emotions just from this trade, just because, like, it's so, it was unexpected. I didn't really expect to wake up from my nap and see that the Mets traded for one of the best shortstops in the league right now.
I saw it and you didn't text me immediately and I was confused.
Bro, I was napping. I was completely asleep. I woke up at exactly 1 o'clock and I was like, huh, nice.
Nice.
Bro, honestly, nice. Like, just they were able to do a trade with, like, this is, I think this is more of, like, forget the fact that they got Lindor, that they got Carrasco, whatever. They were able to complete a trade for a good player without giving up a top 100 prospect.
Which is the opposite of what happened in the Cano-Diaz deal.
Look, if Brody was in charge of this deal, you already know that we would have half the entire, like, future shipped off right now.
Right. Right.
And it would have gotten us, what, like, 5 more wins, maybe? Bro, I'm so glad, one, that, I don't know. Like I said before, I feel like it's a new chapter. I feel like,
oh, no, yeah, it really feels – it feels different.
It's a new Mets team. And I have never been – look, I have never been a huge baseball guy in the first place. Over the past few years, I've been trying to get into it a lot more. I have never been so excited for MLB season to start. Like
– listen, here's what I would say, because, of course, I'm going to say this. They're still the Mets.
100%.
They're still the Mets, and until we see them play – they haven't played a single game yet. So as excited as I would be as a Mets fan, you know.
We have something, man.
You know. And no, and we'll get to this because we have to talk Knicks too. You know that something – we don't know yet. That's what I'm trying to say. You know that we don't know yet. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be excited.
Look, I need some sort of hope in the sense that I am – look. I am a Jets fan, I am a Knicks fan, and I am a Mets fan, which is the worst possible combination that you could ever have in professional sports right now.
I don't know if that's the worst. I mean,
no, look, it's not the worst, but
all the Detroit teams stink.
Being a Jets fan, a Knicks fan, and a Mets fan right now is so painful. I needed something like this. I needed this Lindor trade to go through, to have some sort of hope, to have some sort of like good thing happen to a team of mine, because I just don't see it anymore. And like, look, obviously right now the Knicks are playing a lot better than we expected to. We'll get into that later. But this was so important for me as a fan.
Like, oh no, this will bring people like, this is the kind of deal that puts people in the seats. Whenever that may happen, obviously, because we're living amidst a pandemic, but this is the kind of deal that like people are going to be going to Queens and they're going to be excited to see Francisco Lindor play shortstop for the New York Mets.
Look, all I'm going to say is that Cohen went on Twitter. Steve Cohen went on Twitter directly after, or not directly after, but a little
bit. He said something about, I know what you're going to say.
His tweet is, I know this trade seems to creating excitement, but let's get back to what matters.
The black uniforms. Yeah, they do need to bring back the black uniforms. Those look nuts. That guy is the king of Twitter, let me tell you. He's literally a fan. Like, it's awesome. Like,
if Steve Cohen is able to bring a World Series to Citi Field, I will consider him the king of New York in my eyes.
It is unbelievable.
I have a long list of people that could be considered for that. Right now at the top of mine is Billy Joel, but I could consider put Cohen up there if he's able to do some other fun things for my Mets team.
Well, I think Steve Cohen's next priority is going to be going out there and signing Springer, but obviously the market is so slow because the MLB offseason sucks.
Here's the thing. I think right now the Mets are in a solid spot in the sense where they're still not out of the running for big name free agents.
No, they're not. They're going to get Springer. I don't think they'll get Bauer, but
I don't think they'll get Bauer. I don't know if I want Bauer in a sense.
That's ridiculous. Yes, you do.
Yeah. Who doesn't
totally want Bauer?
Who doesn't want Bauer?
Syndergaard, Bauer, DeGrom, Stroman, Carrasco. That is far and beyond the best rotation when healthy in the league.
That is very
not even close. But I still don't think Bauer's. I don't think Cohen wants Bauer. Now that you say that,
honestly, I wouldn't be surprised, but.
I wouldn't be either.
Watch the Mets sign DJ LeMahieu.
That wouldn't even make any sense. Like that
it
just
wouldn't. But it's just such a Steve Cohen thing to do.
It wouldn't make any sense. No, actually, you're wrong. It would be a George Steinbrenner thing to do, who's rolling over in his grave right now, seeing what's happening. Mm-hmm. Ugh. I mean, like, yeah, no. Steve Cohen is the new George Steinbrenner. I'll go as far as saying that he is the new George Steinbrenner. He will do anything and everything to get his team wins, and he's a fan, and he cares more about his team winning than the amount of money he has to spend to put a good product on the field. And that's something to be proud of if you're a Mets fan. And that's something you haven't experienced in the whole existence
ever. Bro, so, look at the owners that I have dealt with as a fan.
Wilpon, Dolan, Johnson. I get it. Yeah. Yeah. It's ugly.
Very.
I keep saying this. Can you please text your Uncle Steve and ask him if he wants to buy the Knicks?
I wish, man.
That would be because then I could love him the same amount that you love him, and everyone would love him because everyone knows real New York people are Knicks fans. Everyone could love Steve Cohen, not just half of us.
Bro, if this man ever decided to buy the Knicks,
he would be the savior. He could have the key to the city. He
should run for mayor if he's able to somehow get the Knicks from Dolan. That's obviously never going to happen, but bro, can you imagine?
That would be magical, dude. Like, cause that's the kind of thing. Like, players want to play for Steve Cohen. It would be the same thing in the NBA, I think. But speaking of, do you have any more Mets stuff before we have to talk?
I'm about done. I'm just very happy with what we're at right now. Obviously, this is gonna somehow crash down on me at some point, but for right now,
it'll crash down in the NLCS when you lose to the Dodgers. But until then, we'll enjoy it.
There you go.
Yeah. No. Look, the Mets are a really good team, and barring the ridiculous amount of injuries that usually happen to them, they should be a playoff team. And Atlanta's really good, but I still think they're probably the front runners in the East right now. Like, they have to be.
Yeah.
They have to be the front runners in the NL East. Speaking of that, though, at least the Yankees are still front runners in the AL East. The Rays, they got rid of Snell and Morton.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And, yeah, no, we'll see. We'll see what happens. The Yankees are inept. They're acting like children.
We'll have more of a.
Yeah, we're still far away. We're still like 2.5 months away from opening day. So we've got plenty of time to talk about that. But yeah, there's some other exciting stuff going on.
Woo.
Down on Broadway, man.
New York sports, the New York Knicks.
The Knicks are 5-3.
The Knicks
have a winning record, and they've won 5 of 6. The reason why we're whispering, I get really excited during these games, and I don't want to toot my own horn just yet. We're very early in the season.
Yeah, no, like, look, right now, I don't want to have a premature celebration because this is obviously only the beginning. We're 8 games into the season, and it's
a really good start, though.
Yeah, look, right now, this is everything, every single thing that I said about Julius Randle, Tom Thibodeau, Elfrid.
I mean, you seem to be wrong right now.
I am being completely.
Knock on wood. Hopefully we were all wrong about that, because Julius Randle is going to win most improved player if he keeps playing like this.
Julius Randle's going to win most valuable player if he keeps playing like this.
Dude's averaging 23, 12, and 7. Are you kidding me? Man. And he turns the ball over a little. Like, his turnovers are getting better. Like, they're more I don't know what the word I'm trying to use.
2020-2021 Julius Randle is completely different from the 2019-2020 Julius Randle. And that's so obvious to see. The man has improved his game in the sense where, you know what,
He's near what we thought. He's better than what we imagined the role Barrett would step into so far.
Yeah. Look, right now, everything is somehow clicking for the Knicks. I mean, they just re-signed Taj Gibson, which I thought was really cool. Just
the Austin Rivers signing looks incredible. The Alec Burks signing, and he's not even playing right now, looks incredible. It looks like right now Leon Rose made some really good bargain bin deals. And, you know, we're getting to a point where if this continues over the next few weeks, next few months, you got to think about extending Julius Randle, and you got to think about maybe pairing him up with a second star.
Honestly, it's so crazy to think about, because like a month ago, I just wanted him out. No matter what, I wanted him gone. And now.
We mentioned how we needed one of these guys to step into their premier role this year. We thought it would be RJ Barrett. He's had games where he's been the best player on the floor, and he's had games where he's been the worst player on the floor. Last night, the Knicks ended up beating the Jazz by 12 points with a plus 30 after being down 18 in the second quarter and 68 points in the second half. Yet RJ Barrett didn't even play that well. I mean, this seems like a deep team. Like, RJ Barrett needs to get better. That's where I was kind of going with that, is that you'd love to see him be more consistent. But at the same time, he's 19, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
that time,
he had his entire career to get better. Right now,
I know we usually, when we talk about the Knicks and the potential, it's usually a sarcastic, annoying way of talking about it. But like, if everyone else is playing well and he can continue to have nights once every 3 games where he drops 25 and shoots incredible and makes 3 3-pointers, then like, I'm not going to complain. But it sucks when he has nights where he shoots 2 of 10 with 7 points and turns the ball over 4 times. Like,
you know,
I'd love to see more. My only complaint as of right now, I have 2. I'd love to see Barrett and Randall get maybe a bit more rest. I understand that when Burks and Gibson are back, or who I know that Alec Burks isn't playing right now, and Nikola is not playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Knicks have had pretty annoying amount of injuries, and they're still fighting, man. They're still fighting. You'd love to see Nerlens Noel get in there once he's healthy. Toppin once he's healthy. So it's not that much of a complaint, because I guess their bench is kind of short right now, that Thibodeau's been playing Barrett and Randle a lot. You'd love to see a game where maybe there's a blowout and they don't have to play as much, because he's only been doing an 8-9-man rotation, which is understandable because they're winning games. So we don't want to burn those young guys out.
Okay.
And then my second complaint would be, I'd love to see Barrett be a little bit more consistent.
Look, one person that I want to like put an emphasis on that I think has been playing it. Okay, so the stats don't show it right now, but Kevin Knox, if you look.
Kevin Knox has been shooting very efficiently. Exactly. You're right.
Kevin Knox, if you look at the stats, they're not as good as what. Okay, if you went 2 years ago and said, hey, Kevin Knox, what do you think if he's going to be a role player? I would have told you I'm not going to be happy. Right now, I'm kind of like in touch with the fact, like, okay, I'm okay with him being a off the bench type guy, where he's a 3-and-D type player, and he's been thriving under Thibodeau. Like,
yeah, he's been making his shots. He's not inefficient, and his defense has been better.
Look, he was forced to do way too much last year under Fizdale, and I think that that's just a byproduct of so many things going wrong with that Knicks team.
Right.
And I, like, they were asking for too much of someone that did not that does not have like the talent for that. And I'm not saying that he's not a talented player. It's just like everyone thought that Kevin Knox was going to be this great standout number one on the team, and that just didn't happen.
It didn't,
and
you know,
that's okay. Right now he's been playing at the best, probably the best basketball of his NBA career.
And 100%.
You can't complain what he's doing right now. Off the bench, he has been putting up solid numbers in the sense that he's able to shoot a lot more crucial shots that are going in. He's able to have a much bigger impact on the floor where he's not detrimental to the team. And honestly, like last year, he just was not good.
Well, last year he was just the definition of inefficient.
Exactly.
And this year it seems to be the opposite. And I'll mention another young guy from that draft class, Mitchell Robinson. His defense has been solid as usual. He's getting rebounds. I don't know how many rebounds a game he's averaging, but both him and Randall have been just swallowing the boards. Mitchell Robinson's averaging 8 a game. He had 14 last night. Mm-hmm. He's just killing it. And he's not fouling as much, which was his biggest problem. Randall's not turning the ball over as much as he used to. Still a lot. You'd love to see it be better. You'd love to see him shoot better. But even last night, when he wasn't at his best, he still dropped 30, 16, and 7. You can never complain about that stat line. And then Mitchell Robinson, to go along with it, he's playing good defense, and he's not taking as many fouls. And that's what you wanted to see from him.
Yeah. I mean, Robinson, his play this year has been definitely something different. I mean, you can't complain. Like, there's no way to put it. Like, obviously, Mitchell Robinson, I think, has the talent and the potential to be much like a real starting center in the NBA. And he hasn't completely shown that yet, but I'm not losing hope on him in the sense that he's had very solid games this year and he's had a very solid season overall. I mean, 8-8 is very good in the sense where this guy is still only 22 and has a lot to learn.
And he's not the kind of big man that's going to take over games for you, but that's not necessarily what the Knicks need.
Yeah. And like, look, one thing that I'm still not sold on with this Knicks team is what I'm kind of scared about happening in the near future, just because it's the Knicks. This guard rotation, as much as it's been working efficiently recently, I don't know if that's going to continue to. Elfrid Payton's been getting a lot of minutes and he had a very good game last night, but it's still like, I don't know if I trust that. Quickly was struggling a bit last night. That's kind of why Payton was able to
Quickly kind of didn't play nearly as much. One guy that hit the signing, obviously he went off last night. Austin Rivers had an incredible game.
Yeah.
3 years for $10 million. That's looking like a great signing right now. Once Alec Burks is back, I'll be less concerned about our guard rotation.
Yeah.
I know that there's a lot and it's a really crowded room, but it seems like guys are really just kind of embracing their role. Which is something I guess I didn't expect, you know?
Like
Elfrid Payton, as much as he's playing, he's embracing his role. IQ is coming off the bench being a spark plug, which is kind of what we need right now. He's a rookie point guard. Austin Rivers is making his shots. And once Alec Burks come back, him and Reggie Bullock are very similar players in that they're 3-and-D. They'll hit your big shots for you, and they won't make too many big mistakes.
Yeah, and like, look, the one thing about this Knicks team off the court in the sense was the whole Nerlens Noel situation. Like, it came out that he didn't want to really come to the Knicks and that his agent forced him to, and then he didn't want to play, so he wasn't showing up to practices. He tweeted 9 hours ago. I'll read it off. People sit on Twitter making things up and talking noise. Trust me, I love being a Knick, and I'm excited about what we are building here, which I think is the greatest attitude that you could have right now in the sense where that's very what's the right word? It's just like as far away of concerning as possible in the sense where we weren't sure what was happening with him. We weren't sure the future of him with the Knicks team, but he missed the past 2 games with a sprained ankle, I believe it was, but he's questionable to play tomorrow. And that's all you could ask for. I mean, he's had a very solid preseason so far in the year. It hasn't been like insane with his stats. I mean, I think he's averaging like 3 and 5 and 15 minutes or something like that in the few games that he's played. But I think that the addition of Nerlens Noel has been a very solid, like kind of sidekick to Mitchell Robinson in the sense where.
I saw those reports earlier on as well. And something that I've noticed is that like, it seems like this Knicks team is playing for each other. They're playing for Thibodeau. They believe in what they're building there, and they're confident, and they're having a lot of fun playing basketball right now. You saw you saw the highlights. You saw the Knicks bench just exploding after Rivers hit that third three or that fourth three, and they're just losing their minds. Like, yeah, this is Knicks basketball. And I tweeted last night, I said, dang, if the Garden was full with 20,000 right now, the roof would be blowing off it or something like that.
Garden with that kind of game.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is the first time. I can't remember a time, maybe when we signed Rose and Noah, but that was short-lived, where people have just been excited about how the Knicks are playing.
Which we have not seen in a while. I mean, like...
Yeah, no, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago whenever we signed Noah and Courtney Lee and we traded for Derrick Rose, and like people all seemed pretty excited for that, and they were good for a little while, and then they kind of ended up sucking that team, but that's kind of what it feels like. Feels like there hasn't been much of that level of excitement until now, except the only difference is now it's a young team. They're playing for each other with a new head coach that seems to have a system that the young players are buying into.
When have I ever been able to say I'm excited for all three teams in New York?
You're excited for the Jets too? Is that what you're saying?
Okay, well, you know what? The Jets, I'm excited in the sense that we're getting a new coach, getting a new team.
It's they interviewed Marvin Lewis today, bro. What's good with that?
Shut up. New look, obviously, we'll have more of a Jets offseason preview, season recap type thing later in the week.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what we can do this offseason. Because you know what? No matter how bad your team is, the offseason is always exciting, unless you're the Saints, because they have absolutely no cap this year. But
The Saints are screwed. The Saints are so screwed. The Saints are going to suck in like a few years, and they're going to be bad for a long time. Like, they can't afford their team. It's really bad.
Man, we'll have an NFL type thing next time. But for right now, I mean,
we have the NFL playoffs coming up. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the Knicks play the Thunder tomorrow, and then they have another game Sunday. I think it's Denver, and then they have Charlotte Monday. So, like, if we record Monday after the Knicks game, maybe we could do, like, an NFL and talk about the Knicks real quick. Hopefully they go 3-0. Yeah, we do have to finish off the – we have to put the bow on the abysmal season that was the Giants and Jets this year. We have to tie the ribbon there. It's just – we've been putting it off.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean – Mets, very good trade today. Knicks, very good basketball recently.
Rangers playing this time next week. Yes, sir. We love to hear that. And you will be watching. I will make you watch the game.
You'll be watching, yes.
Is Frank a big Rangers, or is he a hockey guy or no?
A little bit. We could probably.
No, that'll be something you guys get into together. If you dabble, trust me, if you listen to the show and you don't watch hockey, you're missing out. Just don't be an Islanders fan. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes, sir.
That's all I'm going to say about it. But
that's just about all we have for today. This is a very fortunate day, which we don't really get too much.
Yeah, we actually had a pretty much all happy episode, especially for you. So
yeah,
we needed that after 3 days ago's debacle.
Yeah, so a bit of a change of scenery for once, but other than that, I mean,
maybe we'll be able to enjoy our weekend. But yeah, you know what, the Giants and Jets both don't play. Of course we'll be able to enjoy our weekend.
Look, all I'm saying is that if Alex Smith is able to take down Tom Brady, I'll be extremely happy.
Yeah, right. Come on. Just stop. The Bucks are gonna put up like 40. I'm lying. Washington's defense is good.
We'll figure it out. Okay, well, anyway, let me just drop my socials real quick. I'm Anthony Evangelista7 on Instagram, Anthony EV7 on Twitter. If you want to follow us, it's at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and TikTok, Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. Here, drop yours.
As always, on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one. That's Kyle E. Keegan. And I'm expecting a Francisco Lindor TikTok from you tonight. That is your job. Do something about Francisco Lindor.
That's my homework. Yes, sir.
That is your homework. I don't know. We've both been kind of slacking on the TikToks lately. The holidays got the better of us. We need to still get back into the sense of normalcy. We can't make this excuse anymore. It's January 7th. Whatever. We'll see you guys soon.
Thank you guys for listening. See you soon.
Bye.